the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South, it's 7 a.m. Time to wake up on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let me get back in the picture.
Oh, man.
We didn't adjust. I'm not in my...
Back together, y'all.
Yeah, back after
Everybody's here, that's right.
So, it's good to be back.
It is good to be back. See, today is the feast of Blessed Stanley Rother. He is the first martyr from the United States, and he's also the first U.S.-born priest to be beatified.
I did not know that much about him,
and we'll find out more during our Saint of the Day, but he has quite the interesting story from Oklahoma.
Really? So, of all places?
Yeah. Cool.
Middle America. I love it.
So let's start with prayer this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us and grant that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that ever endure. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Stanley Rother, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. That'll be in just in about 10 minutes, or 8 minutes, actually. We're joined in 18 minutes by Yelena Papovic. She is a director and producer of Man of God. And we talked about Man of God. It's about a saint that I actually wasn't quite familiar with until we talked to Yelena a few months ago, Saint Nectarius. She's going to give us details about this movie because it's actually on DVD or on demand. And so you can watch it in the comfort of your home. So she'll give us details. She has an amazing story, by the way, on St. Nectarius. So she'll be with us. David Dawson Jr. is a director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. And today he's going to be talking about celebrating baptisms and anniversaries. So that'll be quite an interesting topic. We always love a good celebration as Catholics. So it'll be a good conversation with Dave. And Leslie Bergeron joins us in 48 minutes. She's the Director of Outreach and Education with the St. Elizabeth Foundation, and she's going to talk about their adoption needs and services that they have in the area. So always a great conversation, Damian, with Leslie. I think now more than ever, it's important to talk about organizations like the St. Elizabeth Foundation in our community.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I'm a big believer in adoptions and a big believer in this heat. Boy, it has been hot. Yeah. But guess what? It's going to get a little cooler for the next few days, if you can believe that. If you don't mind 4 or 5 degrees cooler, that's better than what it's been.
That's right. That's
but the typical summer weather pattern is still going to be full speed ahead in and around our area, with sunny skies to partly cloudy skies in the morning, and then come midday, early afternoon, you can expect a thunder shower to pop up in your area. 50-50 chance that's going to happen. Temperature-wise, high should be close to 90. Low is going to be about 74. And that should remain that way all the way through Saturday. So same type of weather today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Temperatures in and around the area, the warm spot already in Biloxi, 81 degrees. The cool spots, Baton Rouge, 76. Elsewhere, Houma-Thibodaux in New Orleans, it's 78. And across the lake in Covington and Mandeville, it's 77. Don't go away. We have your gospel and reflection coming your way. The gospel day is on Matthew. So stick around for that with Father Chris Decker. We'll have more. It's 5 after on Wake Up.
A good Thursday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." When Jesus finished these parables, he went away from there. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The striking casualness with which this dragnet is thrown into the sea, indiscriminately to catch what it may, corresponds to the generous freedom that the sower casts his seed over the land. In the opening chapter of Genesis, God separated the dry land from the waters and commanded life to spring forth from the land, the sea, and the air. So too Jesus, God's incarnate Word, now shows himself in these parables to be the Lord who seeks fruit from his creation. Thus the harvest of wheat and the finding of a treasure are now followed by the catch of fish. That which has long laid hidden in the earth or water has been given time to reach its full maturity. Now it must finally come to the light of God's evaluation. These parables, seven in number, represent the whole of creation, which is a covenantal relationship with God. In one sense, we can view the covenant as two giant umbrellas. On one is inscribed the word blessings, and on the other the word curses. We choose under which of these two umbrellas our life will be judged. The dragnet cast over the waters represents the fateful moment of judgment at the end of time when everyone shall be summoned before God. Fundamental to the meaning of the parable is the essential idea of the universal call to holiness culminating in an eternity of blessings. St. Paul insists that God desires the salvation of all men, but love never forces. Each person faces a lifetime of choices that in the end places him firmly under the eternal canopy of blessings or curses. This is where the all-important subjective factor plays a vital role. We are free to develop the gifts and opportunities God has given us. We can choose either nutritious or toxic fare. We can work to produce plentifully or to remain sterile. But God's judgment is fair. To draw on the fish metaphor, groupers will not be judged like catfish, nor will the flounders be expected to perform like sharks. But in this great Catholic dragnet, we will all be judged by what we have done in this life. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Father Chris Decker, and welcome back to Wake Up. It is 11 after the hour on a Thursday morning, July 28th. The month is almost over. But something that isn't over is coming up on Wednesday of next week from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. You are invited, men are in particular, are invited to join Sister Dulce Maria at the for spiritual classes and really some great scriptural study and sharing. It's going to be in the Chapel of Divine Providence at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center. That's located on George O'Neill Road. It's 17560, but it's really at the very end of George O'Neill Road. That's mm-hmm. the easiest way to explain it.
It is.
Drive through the gates and you're there. So if you're looking for a spiritual study group, mm-hmm. The men get together usually once a month. And so if you want to join them, now's the time to put it on your calendar. All men are invited August 3rd from 7 to 8.
That's always great to go out there.
That's in Baton Rouge, too, by the way.
Yeah. That's right. Well, also in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, it's time to sign up if you have not been on an ACTS retreat. Our Lady of Mercy Parish is holding a women's ACTS retreat that will be September 22nd through September 25th. The retreat will be held at the Solomon Retreat Center. The cost is $275 for Our Lady of Mercy parishioners. If you're outside the parish, you can still go, but you have a different fee of $350. And that is a double occupancy for that retreat. You can go to olomchurch.com to find out more information and to register.
Awesome. Well, Steve Ray will be in the area, actually at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center on Saturday, September 10th. He's talking about faith, heroes of faith who still rock our world today, from the Beloved, the Rock, and the Pharisee Saul. So Steve Ray, as you probably already know, since he's on Wake Up a lot, he's a Catholic author, filmmaker, apologist, and Holy Land guide. It's $60 to attend. That includes a continental breakfast and lunch. It's actually a great deal. So there is limited seating. Registration is at 7 a.m. They will have mass and then the seminar. If you want to find out more information, you can go to cypressspringsprayercenter.org, and all of the information is on their website. So pretty cool event.
Yeah. Yes. And one more event. This is more of a put this on your calendar, you know, date to remember. The date is November 2nd. The event, it's Catholic Community Radio's Catholic Man Night. That's right. We're going to have another event. It'll be our sixth annual, and we want all you guys out there to come join us here in Baton Rouge, because the event is going to take place at Chef John Foles' White Oak Estates and Gardens. It's a great time for men to gather, usually about 3 hours from about 6 to 9, and it's $125 per person. But boy, it's a strolling buffet. There's a lot of vino flowing and a lot of fraternity of gathering and sharing. And guess who the guest speaker is this year? Former LSU coach Paul Maneri. A paisan is going to be speaking at the Catholic Man Night. So again, put that on your calendar for November 2nd. If you want tickets, do we already have that set up on our website for ccradio.live?
It's close. Right, Gabby?
In the works.
It's in the works. Okay.
This is the first we're talking about.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's how early this is.
That's
We want you to get it on your calendar, but we usually sell out. So now's the time to start putting it and thinking, okay, who am I going to invite to this event and bring along on November 2nd at White Oak Estate and Gardens? Don't go away. We have more coming your way on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 28th. Today we celebrate Blessed Stanley Rother. Born into an Oklahoma farming family, Stanley Francis Rother was ordained to the priesthood in 1963. Accepting the Oklahoma City Diocese invitation to join its mission staff in Guatemala, Father Rother served the parish at Santiago Atitlan for 13 years, experimenting with various farm crops in addition to his pastoral duties. During Guatemala's Civil War, the Catholic Church's insistence on catechizing and educating the poor put many noncombatants in danger. Early in 1981, with his own name on a death list, Father Rother visited family and friends in Oklahoma. Against their advice and that of the local bishop, he chose to return to Atitlan to be with his people. "The shepherd cannot run at the first sign of danger," he told those he left in the States. In the early morning hours of July 28, three men entered the rectory and fought with Father Rother before executing him. His beloved parishioners mourned, "They have killed our priest." Declared the first American-born martyr for the faith in 2016, Stanley Rother also became the first American-born man to be beatified on September 23, 2017. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. You guys, I had no idea about that saint, Blessed Stanley. So that is great.
Amazing story.
Actually, what an amazing story. So Another amazing story and another amazing saint is actually a Greek saint, Saint Nectarius. We were talking a few months ago with director Yelena Pavlovic about the Man of God movie, and she had such an amazing story that we actually extracted a clip of that interview, and we play it all the time just to talk about the importance of this saint and just the amazing story that she told on Wake Up when we interviewed her last. She joins us again this morning to tell us about the movie Man of God. Good morning, Yelena.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
It's so good to have you with us today, and it's so good to see that Man of God is now on demand, DVD, and so many other ways that we can watch it in the comfort of our home. So tell our listeners, Yelena, about Man of God and your devotion to Saint Nectarius.
When was the first time you were asking me that I heard about him?
So tell us about the movie, because you are the director of the movie,
yes,
Man of God.
Course.
So tell our listeners about the movie.
Okay, well, basically, I didn't know much about him until 2012, when I was back in Serbia. I was born originally in Serbia, and I read a book about him, and I was fascinated by his story of love and sacrifice, a man who was unjustly persecuted his entire life, even by some people within the church, and how he handled that unjust persecution and how he basically raised above that, and how he served those in need, and he gave up his whole life basically for others. And I was really moved by the book, and I decided to try to make a film. And when I say try to make a film, I mean it's not easy to make a film about Saint nowadays. You know, it's not something that people are, they believe that people would want to watch. But with God's help, I really believe it was a miracle how the whole thing happened, how I came to Greece, and I was able to get funding, and not only funding, but the great help from so many talented people who really believed in the project to make it happen.
Awesome. So tell us about...
And in Greece, by the way, the film was an enormous success. It was the most watched film of the year, even though they didn't expect it at the beginning. It did extremely well in France, in the United States. People really loved the film. And now it's obviously playing on all the major digital platforms and on Blu-ray and DVD on Amazon.
That's great. That was actually my next question, and you answered it perfectly. How has it been? We've spoken to you, I think, in the spring, late winter, about Man of God, and I just wanted to know how it's been. How has it been for you, seeing just the involvement of this movie from, you know, earlier in the year to where it is now and its success?
Well, it's like I said. I'm very happy and I'm very grateful that I had a chance to make it. But it's certainly incredible to watch. Not for my own ego, nothing to do with that, but just to share this story with so many people, and then so many people have actually embraced it in the U.S. for those 2 days that has played in the theaters. For those 2 days, it was fifth on the list as far as how many people have seen it. It was after the major movies like Batman, and you know, it was kind of incredible to see that that many people showed interest in the film. And
yeah, well, Yelena, there's so many people who are dedicated to so many saints, so many of saints that we know, but Saint Nectarius, actually have not heard of him until we talked to you about Man of God. What makes him so unique and so special?
Well, I think one thing I would like to say, apart from, you know, all the stories of the saints are stories of sacrifice, and we have a lot of martyrs, and a lot of us know about them. But about Saint Nectarius, what's interesting and why I think people really love him is because during his life and after his death especially, has performed an incredible amount of miracles, and it's helped a lot of people, especially people that suffer from cancer. And I think it's something that, especially nowadays when we have so many pandemics or endemics or whatever, I mean, we've kind of forgotten to talk about cancer, which is something that, unfortunately, it's happening a lot lately. And I would like to stress that for people that, honestly, I even witnessed few miracles that I'm known of, that people have suffered, have been in coma, and they are okay right now, that have prayed to him, or others have prayed for them to him. And that's what makes him, very special, especially nowadays. And obviously, as far as the film goes, his incredible humility is something that I think nowadays we can all learn from, and because especially when we live in a world where we have forgotten humility, we're kind of sort of live a very self-righteous life and forget that maybe we could have some mistakes, and there is some, you know, we are not always perfect, and not only blame others for problems, and we reach state where our world is in right now, where we have wars, we have problems, and I think the only answer to that is love and forgiveness and humility that this man has had.
Absolutely. You know, you said it perfectly. I was actually talking to one of my neighbors last night, and we were talking about, you know, just that, illnesses and cancer. And I think we've all been affected in some way or another, or know someone who's been affected. You said you have so many miracle stories and so many wonderful things that happened through the intercession of Saint Nectarius. Can you give us an example of one story that you have?
Yes. Yes, I will give you one example. At the time I was living in the United States, actually, miracle happened when we were not there anymore. We're talking about the teacher of my younger son, Nikolai. He was 5 years old. He was his preschool teacher. And we used to call her from Greece because he missed her a lot. And one day we called the school, Montessori in Los Angeles, and they told us that unfortunately Miss Debbie was in coma, and because she had about 10 tumors they have found, and she was not going to live that long. And I did not know what to do. I went with my son, who was at the time 6 or 7 years old, and I asked Nikolai to go and pray at the Church of St. Nectarius to him. I didn't, obviously, we always have faith that, and we all hope that people will get healed. I didn't expect what happened. 2 weeks later, I called, and I called the same school thinking either to hear, hopefully to hear some better news. And Debbie answered the phone, and she started to cry, and she said, "Yelena, I'm a miracle. I don't understand what happened. All my tumors are gone." And she was in coma just 2-3 weeks before that. So that's something I know of. Yes.
Wow. That's incredible.
But it was my son. I would tell him it was you because you're pure, you prayed.
Oh my goodness. That is amazing, and we can definitely see and learn more about this wonderful saint, Saint Nectarius, at manofgodthemovie.com. Yelena, where can we go to stream the movie as well?
You can, it's basically on all the major platforms. It's Apple TV, iTunes, all the, you know, the major platforms. You can stream it, you can buy it, rent it, or if somebody wants to own DVD or Blu-ray, you can buy it on Amazon. And people can go to our website, which is manofgodthemovie.com. That's, again, manofgodthemovie.com, and you can get all the information there as well.
Wonderful. Yelena, thank you so much for joining us today, and looking forward to what is to come and your next project. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. All the best.
Absolutely. You guys, I say streaming, I forget that there's DVDs out there. I haven't seen a DVD player in years, so I don't know. But if that's your thing, then yes, yeah, I would highly recommend. So this looks like a good one. Yeah.
50 years ago, we'd have said albums.
That's right. There you go. Yeah. We still have some VHS ago. Away
Blu-ray,
in the back
know,
of our
yeah,
cabinet.
All that craziness. Well, but regarding this saint, he died just over 100 years ago and was canonized in 1961.
Wow.
And so a lot of miracles attributed to this saint from Greece.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So
amazing. That's
yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Kind of one of those unknown saints that's suddenly becoming a little more popular.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so David Dawson Jr. joins us when we come back from the break. He's with the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux, and he's going to talk about celebrating baptisms and anniversaries. So quite interesting. You know, we as a family, like my family unit, never really celebrate our baptism. We knew when our baptism was because of, you know, photo albums and placards, you know, like the picture that your mom would put on the wall or anything like that. But anniversaries and anything like that, we love a good celebration. But so I know some families, and I think Dave's one of them, that gets a cake for the child's baptism and celebrates baptism, which I think is so cool.
Yeah.
So
baptism
looking forward to hearing about that tradition.
Yeah. We're going to learn more.
It'll be great.
That's something I agree with you, Gabby. You've been baptized, you just move on,
we
so to speak.
To
you know,
yeah.
We do birthdays and wedding
that's
anniversaries
a good point.
And things of that nature. So.
Yeah, we'll learn more from Dave. It's 8:30 on Wake Up. Stay with us.
Five after the hour on a Thursday morning, and welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Colano along with Gabby Smith, Alicia Quibido, and our good friend David Dawson Jr., Director of the Office of Parish Support in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux, here today to talk about celebrating baptisms and anniversaries, and maybe a few other things before we wrap this conversation up. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Just good?
The baby's about a month old now.
Yeah, well, that is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is good.
Yeah. It's going to get better, too, as you know. What? This is number what?
That's right. Number nine.
Awesome.
Wow.
You always love baseball. Now you've got a complete team. Just got to figure out who the pitcher and catcher are, and you're on your way.
Yeah.
Okay, in the meantime, let's talk about baptisms. I'm sure this little one's baptism is coming up real soon, if not already.
Actually, we already got it taken care of. He's
okay.
He's been saved. He's good to go. That's right. Yeah, and I wanted to focus this morning on celebrating the anniversary of your baptism. So one of the things we were challenged with a while back was commemorating, you know, your baptism day, which is typically, you know, for most people about a month after your birthday. And that's information that's easily gotten from the church of your baptism. They keep those records and they're at hand, so it's easy to get. And we have found, so I was doing some reading, I think it was St. Louis, King of France, who celebrated his baptism day. I could be wrong there, but I think it's him, who celebrated his baptism day way more than his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was something that, you know, when the king does something, everybody does it, right? So that was something that was kind of, he made it very popular and understood how valuable that was. But for us, we started doing it a few years back for all of our kids. And, you know, I think at first, you know, I know intellectually it's a good idea. It's always good to remember it. It's honestly, you know, it's as important, if not more important than your birthday, just to celebrate the fact that, like, everything has changed. Like, my baptism is when everything was completely changed. Like, from then until now, all the spiritual goods, all the other sacraments that I've received have been because I was baptized. Baptism is where, you know, my identity becomes one which has been affected by the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when the whole salvation history and everything that Jesus did affects me as an individual, is at my baptism, right? So then from then on, it all builds from there. Just like, you know, with a marriage. Everything, my whole entire family and everything like that comes from this one day where we were married. And so we celebrate that anniversary where our baptism's like that on steroids because it's our relationship with God. So we have, you know, it's good to know that. And so we started celebrating that out of a challenge. And at first it was tough to know exactly what to do and exactly how to do it. But since then, you know, we've been building and it's become, we've understood it more deeply and appreciated it more deeply. So I think this baptism is one of those things that it's easy to kind of, we do it, the preparation is usually relatively minimal, and then once it's done, we don't really think about it that much.
Yeah, like
but I
told.
I think just having that yearly reminder. Yeah,
I told Gabby, you know, once you get baptized, boop, you move on. And I didn't mean that exactly. in a derogatory way, but it just seems like so many other things take place. It's almost like a passing in the night of an event that happens. Exactly. But the beauty of it, right. because that is the time when we finally, one, you know, we're washed away of our original sin, but we become one with the body of Christ and also the body of the church.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, it really that's the moment, right? That's where everything changes. And I think for us, celebrating the baptism days has given me more of an appreciation of when we do baptize the next child too. It's like, this is a big deal. And each year as it comes, you know, we've got, at this point, we've got a baptism candle and we keep all the baptism candles and, on the baptism days, we'll light it, you know, and the child will hold it. We'll do a renewal of baptismal vows, sprinkle everybody with holy water, which they loved. We usually have a cake or something like that. We'll sing a song.
I was going to ask you, know, is a cake appropriate for that? I mean, is that
absolutely
may as well?
Absolutely.
Huh? What about you got a good little dinner that goes along with it as well?
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, it's just a special day. We'll go to Mass. Most of the time, if we can, we'll go to daily Mass. We might try to hit confession. But the usuals for us are we've got daily Mass, a cake of some variety, and then we'll try to maybe even go out to eat or something like that. But just so that it's not just a passing formality, that we really are like, this is a reason to celebrate. You know, we're not just kind of giving a nod to try to be good Catholics or whatever, like, you know, overachieving Catholics so we can post something on Facebook. But it really is like, it's become for us as a family, each time we do it, a deeper and deeper understanding of the importance of it and just how cool it is. And I think the kids are picking up on that. You know, more quickly than we do, which is typical.
So how do they look at that compared to a birthday celebration?
Well, so birthdays are when, you know, you got family comes in, you have friends, you get presents and that kind of thing. So it's a little different in that regard, because for baptism day, we don't necessarily do that. But I think the difference is that, number one, it's your day. It's an important day. You get candles, you get cake. We're going to sing to you. We're going to focus on you. But it's more of a day of gratitude for what God has done. So there's I think the feel's a little different. Number one, there's obviously a spiritual feel. We're going to Mass.
Okay.
We're doing a baptismal prayer. You know, we're renewing the vows. You could find that. I'll just pull it up, you know, renewal of baptismal vows, and it's easy to find on Google. And then, so they know there's a spiritual, you know, element, but there's still, like, the celebration. Like, there's a joy here. You know, we're going out to eat. We're having cake. So they know it's a big deal. So, you know, and we got a baptismal candle instead of the birthday candles and that kind of thing. So, I don't know. I think that the birthday is the joyful and the gift-giving and that kind of thing, and the family's around. Baptism is still just as joyful, but it's a little more focused.
Yeah.
Right? It's focused.
Well, and you know what's kind of neat is, okay, so you have your birthday, and you know in 5 or 6 weeks you're going to be having your baptism celebration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly
and right. You could possibly give a gift, the family to the individual, i.e. a rosary or
Absolutely.
A Bible or some prayer book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, there's so many good Catholic-oriented books out there and that even a child could read and uses for bedtime stories, you name it. Doesn't matter how old you get. So let me ask you, brother, have they celebrated your baptism this year yet?
Yes. So mine's July, July 11th.
So you just had it.
I did, yeah. And so we celebrated that one. And that's something that now that I've done more with the kids, like I'm much more focused on it throughout that day too. Like that's a big day for me now. Whereas before, you know, it was just kind of this passing, like, well, that's neat, you know. But now, like, I mean, that's a major feast day for me, you know. Like Christmas and Easter kind of situation where it's like I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of focused prayer, just kind of deep, sinking more deeply into that reality throughout the day. So I think for me, if I wouldn't have started doing that with the kids, like, I definitely would not have made that move on my own for my own baptism, you know, just remembrance.
So let's look at the other sacraments real quick. We only have a minute or so, but do you profess or suggest that maybe you ought to do that for your first communion, your confirmation? I like confirmation because that's when you get to pick a saint's name, you know, as your confirmation name. To me, that has a lot of merit and a lot of value from a spiritual sense.
For sure. Yeah, as a matter of fact, when you ask your parish, your baptism for your baptism date, they'll they'll actually be able to give you dates for all your sacraments because it's right there. Mm-hmm. And so what we did was they give it all to us, and so we put them all on the calendar. Like in that moment, we put it on the calendar. I don't have to think about trying to remember it again. And so all of our first communion dates, baptism dates, confirmation dates are on the calendar. And so it gives us a reason to celebrate. And again, at first, it's hard to remember how to do this and what to do. But after a while, the appreciation deepens year after year. And we've gotten better and better at knowing how to celebrate those things. So, yeah, we're still learning. We still got a long way to go. But it's given us, having them on the calendar gives us an opportunity to sink into those realities and just the gratitude that, like, I get to receive the Eucharist. And this happened, this started on this date, you know. So I get to celebrate that. We'll probably go to Mass at that date, whereas before we may not have been making that a priority. You know, in confirmation, it's like, all right, where have I been? Where am I headed? Lord, where are you taking me? This, you know, what's my mission? So yeah, no, absolutely. I highly recommend that. And it's easy to get those dates.
And you just call your church parish, you said, huh?
You call the parish of your baptism because they've got records for all your sacraments.
Awesome. Yeah, well, exactly. David, as always, thank you and congratulations on your baptism celebration a few weeks back.
Thank you, man.
Hey, welcome into the church. We're glad to have you. Have a good week.
You too, thanks.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, that was interesting.
That was.
Yeah, and yeah. It's something I don't know
we
my date, so I'm going to look.
Little, and we just, I don't know what that'll happen.
Yeah, I got to investigate my baptism date again. I know about when it is, so don't.
Good morning. It's 12 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. We are joined this morning by Leslie Bajeron. Leslie is the Director of Outreach and Education for the St. Elizabeth Foundation. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
It's been a while since we visited with you, and hopefully lots of our listeners know about St. Elizabeth Foundation. We do have a spot that you, your voice actually, talking about St. Elizabeth Foundation that runs on Catholic Community Radio. So thanks for all you do in our community and beyond for parents, adoptive parents, and for mothers seeking give their child up for adoption. So tell us about St. Elizabeth Foundation.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. St. Elizabeth Foundation is a nonprofit licensed adoption agency in the state of Louisiana. We were founded in 1988 by Hayes and Gay Town, who saw a need, you know, for adopting couples who were having to travel out of state to adopt a child, and as well as for pregnant women who were also having to travel out of state to get any help from agencies. So they founded St. Elizabeth Foundation, and our office is here in Baton Rouge, but we travel all over the state of Louisiana to meet women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy or just an unexpected pregnancy, and we support them in their choice to make an adoption plan. And at this point, we've done about 600 adoptions.
Wow. Nice. That's amazing. And so it's just in the state of Louisiana. I think I heard your friend saying hello this morning, but That's okay. So is this just for people who live in the state of Louisiana, mothers and families looking to adopt?
So, because we're only licensed in the state of Louisiana, okay. We can only work with mothers in Louisiana, but okay. We can work with adoptive families throughout the entire country.
Oh, wow. Wow. So tell us, Elizabeth, Leslie, if a mother or if a woman is experiencing an unplanned pregnancy and she gives you a call, walk us through that process. What would she experience?
Yeah, so once she's made that call, which is the hardest part for her, it takes a lot of courage just to make that call and admit that she's thinking about it, needs some help.
Yes.
We set her up with one of our caseworkers so that our caseworker can kind of walk her through the process and enroll her in our program. And then once she's enrolled in our program, there's no commitment to, you know, going through with it all the way, but it just allows us to help her. And so we can help her by providing free counseling from one of our licensed clinical social workers. It's the state law that she has to have two separate counseling sessions, but we offer as many as she would like. And we continue that service post-placement as well. She can have free counseling for her entire life.
Wow.
And then in addition to the counseling, we help her with all of her medical needs, you know, getting to and from appointments. If she needs a support person to go with her to appointments, we'll do that for her. We help with her living expenses. If she's homeless, we'll help her find housing. If she has housing, we'll help her take care of some of her expenses. If she has other children, we can help her with child care and taking care of some of their needs.
Wow.
And then the biggest part we do is we talk with her about, you know, who is she looking for in parents for her child. And then we provide a matching process. We'll find some families that sound like it's who she's looking for, and we'll present her with profile books.
Okay.
So she can kind of look through some different families. And from those books, she'll choose one. And then once she has chosen one, typically we set up a meeting, just a casual dinner, so that she can get a chance to meet the family and really feel good about who they are and who she's chosen as they move forward.
Wow.
And then we'll be as present as she wants for delivery. You know, we'll be her support person there and help her through that process as well.
Wow. So do you find that, how do women find you? Do they go to crisis pregnancy centers and they're given information about adoption there, or how do you come across most women who are adoption minded?
Yeah, some women do find us online through our website, but the majority is word of mouth.
Okay.
And so we're getting referrals from crisis pregnancy centers or hospitals and doctors that we've worked with in the past who, you know that we're a reputable agency and that we'll do a good job taking care of them.
Okay, great. Now, Elizabeth, that's a lot of service that you're providing for the mother for no cost to the mom. How do you all pay for these services? How can our listeners support St. Elizabeth Foundation?
That is a wonderful question, because St. Elizabeth is unique in the sense that we pay for all of our mom's expenses up front. You know, that way, if she does change her mind and decide to parent, none of our adoptive families have had to risk their finances.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we do accept a fee from our adoptive families when they have a successful placement, but we also rely a lot on donations to kind of keep us going when we're taking care of our moms before we've accepted a fee. So we are very grateful for lots of generous donors in Louisiana who have just been very loyal to helping us on this mission. And so, you know, we would love to meet some more donors as well.
Okay. And so where can folks go to learn more information and find out how they can support St. Elizabeth Foundation?
So they can go to our website, which is stelizabethfoundation.org, and Saint is just spelled S-T.
Okay, that's stelizabethfoundation.org. Do you have any emergent or urgent needs right now, assuming that perhaps you'll start seeing an influx in adoptive-minded mothers?
Yeah, we've kind of already seen an influx, and we do expect to continue to see one throughout the year and into next year. So just financial donations are our biggest need, and more adoptive families, who might be interested in adoption, who are open to a lot of different situations.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. We've been visiting with Leslie Bergeron. She is the Director of Outreach and Education for St. Elizabeth Foundation. You can check them out at stelizabeth.org. Thanks so much, Leslie.
Thank you so much for having me again. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Goodbye. You know, it's so interesting that we don't hear as much about adoption anymore. And what a beautiful choice to make. What a life-giving, you know, not only for the child, but for the parents, the adoptive parents.
Yeah, the adoptive parents.
Such a beautiful gift.
And, you know, they probably can contact St. Elizabeth as
well. Absolutely. And
get their name on a list.
That's right. They have a great website. So check out that website, stelizabethfoundation.org.
Well, we're going to pray this morning, a prayer by St. Padre Pio.
Oh, great.
Okay, so in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord, we ask for a boundless confidence and trust in your divine mercy, and the courage to accept the crosses and sufferings which bring immense goodness to our souls and that of your church. Help us to love you with pure and contrite hearts. O Jesus, most adorable heart and eternal fountain of divine love, may our prayer find favor before the divine majesty, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Padre Pio, pray for us.
Pray for us. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time, joined by Gary Zimek. He'll give us probably a Bible verse to ease our worry and anxiety. He's always great at talking about that. And his website, Following the Truth. Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie, joins us, and Michelle Black, Director of Pregnancy Services with Catholic Charities. We'll talk about community needs and services. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.